Chapter 6, In Which the Stones Speak. Jared and Simon ran, half-dragging Mallory, through a series of hallways and narrow, dim rooms. Once, they passed through an overhang, high above a central cavity, where the courting oversaw dwarves laboring to stack weapons onto carts. The barking, at first far off, became closer and more frenzied. They continued on, through chamber after chamber, ducking behind stalagmites when they heard dwarves nearby, and then creeping on. Jared stopped in a cavern with pools where white sightless fish darted. Tiny rocks were balanced atop the points of all the stalagmites, and the sound of water droplets echoed through the space, along with a strange tapping rhythm. "Where are we?"
"I'm not sure," Simon said. "I would have remembered those fish, but I don't. I don't think we came this way when they brought us in."
"Where are we?" Mallory moaned, swaying slightly as she stood.
"We can't go back," Jared said nervously. "We have to keep going." A small, pale figure jumped out from the shadows. It had huge, luminous eyes that shone in the gloom. On its forehead, two long whiskers quivered.
What's that?" Simon whispered.
The creature tapped on the wall with one long, multi-jointed finger, then pressed a large ear against the stone. Jared noticed that the creature's nails were cracked and broken.
The stones speak. They speak to me."
It had a small, whispery voice, and Jared strained to pick out individual words. The creature tapped again. The sound was like some demented Morse code.
"Hey," Jared said, "do you know the way out of here?"
"Shh."
It closed its eyes and nodded its head in time with something Jared couldn't hear. Then it leaped into Jared's arms, wrapping a strong hand around his neck. Jared stumbled backward.
"Yes, yes, the stones say to crawl through there."
It pointed into the darkness, past the pools of white fish.
Great, thanks."
Jared tried to peel the creature off. Finally, it unlatched, scrambled to the wall, and began tapping again.
"What is that?" Simon whispered to Jared. "A really weird dwarf?"
"A nodder or a banger, I think," Jared whispered back. "They live in mines and warn miners of collapses and stuff." Simon made a face.
"Are they all insane? It's worse than that puka."
"For you, Jared Grace."
The creature pressed a smooth, cold stone into Jared's hand.
"The stone wants to travel with you."
Thanks, Jared said. "We have to go now."
He moved toward the dark place that the nodder banger thing had indicated. As Jared got closer, he thought he could make out a crevice.
"Wait, how did you know Jared's name?"
Mallory asked, moving slowly behind her brothers. Jared turned back, suddenly confused.
"Yeah, how did you know my name?" he demanded.
The creature rapped on the cave wall again, an uneven series of taps.
"The stones tell me. The stones know all."
"Right," Jared continued on.
The creature had actually pointed them toward a small opening in the wall of the cave. They had overlooked it before. The hole was low to the ground and very dark. Jared got on his hands and knees and started to crawl. The cave floor was moist, and sometimes he thought he could hear a slither or a rustle just ahead of him. His brother and sisters shuffled along behind. Once or twice he heard one of them gasp, but he didn't slow his pace. He could still hear the barking of the dogs echoing through the caverns. They emerged in the hall of the ironwood tree.
"I think it's that way," Jared said, pointing to one of the hallways.
They ran down the path until they came to a long fissure, almost as wide as Jared was tall. He looked down into the darkness. It was as black as if the crack went on forever.
"We have to jump," Simon said. "Come on."
"What?" said Mallory.
The barking was close behind them. Jared saw red eyes in the gloom. Simon stepped back, then sprung across, landing hard.
"You have to," Jared said, and grabbed hold of his sister's hand. Together they leaped.
Mallory stumbled when her foot hit the rock on the other side, but she fell safely onto the cave floor.
they sprinted off, hoping the dogs could not jump as far as they had. But this passage circled around, and they found themselves back in the central hall, massive branches hanging above them, metal birds twittering.
"Where are we going?" Mallory whined as she leaned on the sword.
"I don't know," Jared said, catching his breath. "I don't know, I don't know."
"I think maybe that way," Simon offered.
"We already went that way, and we wound up here." The barking of the dogs was so close that Jared expected them to burst into the room at any moment.
"How can you not know where to go?" Mallory demanded. "Do you remember how you got in here?"
"I'm trying. It was dark and we were in a cage. What do you want me to do?" Jared kicked the base of the tree as if to emphasize his point. The leaves quivered, clanging together like 1,000 chimes. The sound was deafening. One of the copper birds fell to the ground, its wings still twitching and its beak opening and closing soundlessly.
"Oh, crap," said Mallory.
Metal dogs burst into the room from several corridors, their sleek, jointed bodies effortlessly covering the distance between the entrance and the siblings. Their garnet eyes blazed.
"Climb!" Jared yelled, hooking his foot on the lowest branch and reaching back for his sister's hand.
Simon clambered up the rough iron bark. Mallory lifted herself dazedly.
"Come on, Mallory," Simon pleaded.
She swung her leg onto a branch just as a dog lunged. Its teeth caught hold of the end of her white dress and ripped it. The other dogs swarmed close, tearing the cloth. Jared threw the stone that he'd been clutching in one hand. It flew past the dog's head and rolled ineffectually against the cave wall. One of the dogs bounded after the rock. At first, Jared thought that maybe the stone was magical. Then he noticed that the dog had carried it back in its teeth, metal tail wagging like a whip.
"Simon," Jared said, "I think that dog is playing."
Simon looked at the dog for a moment and then started to shimmy down the tree.
"What are you doing?" Mallory demanded.
"Mechanical robot dogs are not pets."
"Don't worry," Simon called back.
Simon dropped to the ground and the dog stopped barking suddenly, nosing him as though deciding whether or not to bite. Simon stood very still. Watching him, Jared couldn't breathe.
"Good boys," Simon soothed, his voice shaking only slightly. "Want to fetch? Want to play a game?"
He reached forward and gingerly took the stone from between the dog's metal teeth. All the dogs bounced in the air at once, barking happily. Simon looked up at his siblings and smiled.
"You have got to be kidding me," Mallory said.
Simon threw the stone, and all five dogs bounded after it. One snatched it up in its jaws and marched back proudly, the others trailing eagerly. Simon leaned down to pet their metal heads. Their silver tongues lolled from their mouths. Simon threw the rock three more times before Jared called down to him.
"We have to go," he said. "The dwarves are going to find us if we wait any longer."
Simon looked disappointed.
"Okay," he shouted to them.
Then he took the stone and hurled it as hard as he could into the other room. The dogs thundered after it.
"Come on!"
Jared and Mallory jumped down. All three of them ran to the small crack in the wall and squeezed inside, crawling rapidly on their hands and knees. Jared stuffed his backpack behind him, blocking the way. Already he could hear the dogs whining and scratching at the cloth. They felt their way in the dark. But there must have been a fork in the tunnel that they'd missed earlier, because this time there was a soft, warm light at the end of the corridor. They found themselves standing above the quarry on dewy grass. Dawn reddened the sky in the east.